right.
You can be seated. Thank you. All right. If you have your Bible, you guys are crazy. If you have your Bible, Luke chapter 4. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 4. You guys are having a good time today, right? Hey, that was a great song. I love that song. That's good. Luke chapter 4. And I'm going to read 8 verses to you. I'm going to ask that you would follow along with me when you find it. Luke chapter 4. And I appreciate that. If you get your Bible out and turn, and that'd be great. I've got a message for you today, and it's going to be more, I really just want to give you, it's almost like I want to talk to you. I want to give you a little bit of a warning, and it's nothing that you don't know already. You already know it. You've heard it. You've heard teaching like this before, but I think it's going to help you. I think somebody has to warn you about some things that could come into your life. And I'm going to read you the story that you know. It's the temptation of Jesus. How many of you are familiar with the story? Jesus had fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. Right before that, he had just been baptized. We know that Jesus didn't need to be baptized, that he's a son of God in the flesh, you know, God with us. He didn't need to be baptized. But of course, he was baptized for a few reasons. I believe one reason he was baptized was for an example to us, so that we could know that we're supposed to be in like manner to be baptized. I believe it was an example for us to see the Trinity in one place in the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? And then I believe that Jesus was baptized because I believe it marked the beginning of his ministry on earth. Of course, I know you say, well, he was born, he was perfect, and he taught in the temple. I understand that. But I just feel like this is like when he was baptized, it's like the official, what do you guys think, you know, your teacher? I think it was like the official beginning of the ministry. Jesus comes onto the scene. Here he is. Y'all, you understand what I'm saying? And we're going to read. So Jesus goes, he fasts for 40 days. He's a mountaintop experience. He's like walking with God. The Spirit of God is upon him, of course. He's Holy Spirit filled without a sinful life. There's no original sin. There's no sin upon him. There's no sin in him at all. So you and I, you say, well, I've heard preachers say, well, if you're Spirit of God, if you're filled with the Spirit, you can do just what Jesus did. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about that, you know. I mean, what? Don't look at me crazy. You haven't healed it. You haven't raised anybody from the dead lately, so. But I'm just saying, he has the Spirit of God on him, the Holy Spirit of God. He's God in the flesh with no sin. With no sin. You and I, you know, we have sin in us. We're human. Now, I'm going to read the story to you, and I'm asking that you just follow along with me. And Jesus is going to be tempted 3 different times. 3 different times. Now, I've heard people teach on this, but they make it too complicated. So what I'm going to do, we're going to read it, and I want to share with you how this could happen. And if it hasn't already, it has happened to you. Satan is not different than he was. Satan is the same. Satan, I want you to understand this. He wants to destroy you. He wants you. I know this is a little sober. It's Tuesday morning. You're like, what's going on right now? I want to warn you. You have to understand, if you're going in the ministry, it's the real thing. Satan wants to destroy your life. You are not just the average Joe walking down the street. You're not like, listen to me now. I know you're having fun. He's coming after you. You are marked. You are somebody. God wants to use you in a great way. And Satan, he's going after, he wants to take you out. He knows that you can be used greatly. Most of you have grown up in church. Most of you got saved and God's working in your life. Most of you God has a great plan for you, and you're going that way. Satan wants to get you out of the ministry before you ever get started. If you get into the ministry, he's constantly coming after you. Don't you say, yeah, somebody, some pastor messed up. Well, it's gonna happen. It's not a new thing. Have you read your Bible? Have you ever read about Samson? He was crazy. He was crazy. I went to Israel, and I was talking to this guy on the plane, a Jewish man. He said, I love him. He was talking about how wonderful Samson was. He had such a different view. I love Samson. He was a great prophet, great judge. I was like, I asked him, don't you think Samson was a little crazy? I said that to him. He was like, oh, yeah, but God forgave him. I was like, all right. Anyway, he was a little off the wall there. You look at your Bible. David, I'm not excusing any. Don't take that wrong. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying, Satan wants to destroy God's people. And he's good at it. He knows you better than you know you. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He studied you. He's coming. I'm telling you right now, you don't understand. Have you ever have a mouse trap at your house? Anybody? I know you're thinking I'm crazy. I don't care. I'm not worried about you. You ever have a mouse trap at your house? You ever try to catch a mouse? And if you get a smart mouse, or, you know, he sees, you put some peanut butter on the mouse trap. And if you set the trap, he's not gonna let it set. He's not gonna get it most of the time. Because he knows he doesn't want to get caught. So here's how you catch a mouse. You don't set the trap. And you put peanut butter on it. And you let him eat it. And the next day, you don't set the trap. And you put peanut butter on it. And you let him eat it. And the next day, you don't set the trap yet. You put peanut butter on, you let him eat it. And he's so comfortable. He thinks, man, I just got free food right here. And the next day, you set the trap. He runs out. And he says, I've been doing this every day. And guess what happens to him? He's caught. Satan's been doing the same thing for 2,000 years. He's not your friend. Nothing about Satan. Listen to me. People that follow him are not on your side. I've met so many Baptist kids, Christian kids. They're duplicitous. It's like they go to church and love God, and then they follow people that hate God and hate them. Doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it. I don't do that. If you don't like me, we got an agreement. I don't like you either. Anyway, all right. We got a deal. Let me read you. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. Notice the words. I know you know it. I'm going to point out. If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. Verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. By the way, same thing today. Man, you have to have the word of God, right? Verse 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain. By the way, I wanted you to understand something too, that Jesus willingly went with him. Satan can't make Jesus do anything. Jesus went willingly with him. I believe it was to show us how to defeat Satan. Where are we at? Verse 5, verse 6. And the devil said to him, all the power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Unto whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, what does he say? All shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. Now, I've got a few minutes, and I just want to give you a couple thoughts about this scriptures here. I want you to see that Jesus is going to have victory over Satan. Jesus wins. Is that right? You ever thought about that? You know, it's like you have a bad day, you have a bad week, you have a bad month, or you see somebody going through some trials in their life. Just remember, according to the Word of God, that Jesus is going to win. You don't have to worry about it. But I want you to see, note again, Satan is your enemy. His desire is to hurt you, to harm you, and to keep you from following God. Satan's desire is not, he doesn't have a will for your life. You know, I always say, you need to do God's will for your life, you know? Satan does not have a will for your life. It's not like he's got a plan, like, you know, Johnny, I want you to be a great Satanist drummer. You know, I don't know. You know, I want you to be this Satan. I don't know what. I just made that up. I don't know. Some of you guys are drummers in here. I don't know. That's exactly what I was talking about. Anyway, I don't know. Satan doesn't have a plan for your life. And the Bible says it, 1 Peter 5:8. As a roaring lion, Satan, as a roaring lion walketh about. What does it say? Tell me. Seeking whom may devour. He's more like a hunter. It's more like he's hunting. Like, who is weak? Who's sick? Who's ready to be? Who can I hunt? Who's the easiest prey that I got? So it's not like, oh, I got a plan for your life. I want to make you be the most evil person ever. I want you to be a witch or a Satanist or a, you know, I don't know what anyway. But he just wants to destroy you. He wants to get you out of the work of God. Satan has a principled purpose to destroy those, I want you to hear this, that are not only good, but those that are doing good in the will of God. So there's a difference. There's people who, you say, oh, they're a good person. You know, they work at a company or a business. We have people like this in our town, and they help charities. You know, they give food to people that are in need, or, you know, they help somebody that's homeless, or they have a clothing place where they help somebody that needs clothes. We make backpacks for school kids. Now, Satan's not really worried about that, you know. They're doing good things, but it's not really the will of God. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He's very concerned about people that are doing good in the will of God. When you're doing God's will, you're doing the work, doing good, doing God's will. You're on the target. I wanted you to see that. I want you to now understand something here. Look with me now we're going to back up a little bit. You got your Bibles open? Look with me at verse 3. This is big. You got to hear it. He says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, why do you think? What was that about? Well, here's what he was saying. You're God's son, right? You can do it. You can do whatever you want to do. He said, do you believe that God can do what he says he's going to do? I mean, hold on. Jesus, what was happening here is Satan was testing Jesus' faith. Stay with me. He was saying, do you have faith? You're hungry. You need something to eat. Turn that stone into bread. Can you do it? Do you have faith enough to do it? Can you do it? And I want you to see something. The first attack, the first temptation was for Jesus not to trust in God the Father, not to trust in God's care for him, but for Jesus to take matters into his own hands. Y'all with me? For Jesus to take matters into his own hands and do what he thought he needed to do. He's hungry, like we're hungry. He was thirsty, like we're thirsty. You got to think this morning with me. And so, here's what he was saying. Satan was saying, don't trust God. You can do it yourself. Jesus, take matters into your own hands. Same thing's happening to you. Some people say, you know what? That's the first temptation Satan's going to bring to everybody. Are you going to trust in Christ as your personal Savior? You know what? I met people all the time. I met a young man. Please listen. He was hit by a car. I knew his grandmother. I knew him. He'd been to our church many times. He was hit by a car, and he flew about 30 feet in the air, And he landed, and he almost died. They had to amputate both of his legs, and he's in the hospital. Ask my wife. I went to visit him. His grandmother said, please go talk to Tony. Go talk to Tony. Talk to him about the Lord. He could die. Could you witness to Tony? And I went to the hospital, and this is so crazy. But he had a tube down his throat. You know what I'm talking about? He couldn't. It was like he couldn't talk. And guess they had this music in the room. And I don't laugh at me. You're going to laugh. But he had this kind of music in the room. Like, wah, ah. You ever heard anything like that? Some of you guys in the dorms know what I'm talking about. He's like, wah. It's just, that's what it was like. I don't know how to describe it. You never heard of that? It wasn't even words. It was like hollering, wah, wah, like that. So I go in the room, and I said to his grandma, I cannot be in here with this. This is crazy right now. So I turned it off, and I said, he's half out of it. He's laying, no leg. He got his legs amputated. He's in his bed. And I said, I got my New Testament out, and I said, Tony, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want you to get saved. And he said, he started going crazy. No. He didn't say no because he had a... No, he was going crazy. As soon as I turned the music off and started talking about Jesus, he went crazy. He didn't want... And the machine started beeping, beep, 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 everything going. And the nurse said, you got to go out. Pastor, you got to go out. You can't be in. He's losing it. I said, well, I got to go out. He didn't want it. He didn't want Jesus. I can't imagine dying on my death. He died. I can't imagine being on my deathbed and rejecting Christ. I don't want, he didn't want it. I've seen 8-year-olds reject Christ. I've seen 80-year-olds reject Christ. He didn't want it. Hey, you're going to be tested. I can do it myself. I can get saved myself. I don't need that. You're going to be atheist. Look, I don't listen to atheists. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. I'm not going to tell, you're not going to tell me how to live. Agnostics, they're not going to tell me how to live my life. I don't want to hear you. They don't believe. They don't believe in Jesus. Right? They don't have the faith that they're supposed to have. Somebody's going to attack your faith. Satan's going to attack your faith. You say, well, I'm saved. Hey, do you believe in the doctrines of the faith? Do you believe the Bible's the Word of God? Someday, you're going to get tested. Do you believe the Bible's the Word of God? Are you sure? Well, there's a mistake here. Isn't it? Come on. Do you believe the Bible's the Word of God? Bible's God's Word. Bible's God's Word. The Trinity. they're going to attack your faith. Oh, the Sabbath. I had a guy, Sabbath. I said, come on, man. You don't even know what day it is. We have the Roman calendar. We don't have the Jewish calendar. He didn't even know that. I go, we're not even, if you're on Saturday, it's not the right day. It's like 27 days difference for 2,000 years. You try to figure out what day is really the Sabbath day. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. But I'm just saying, but people are going to attack your faith. They're going to attack your faith. All the beliefs and the doctrines, the truths that you've learned growing up, hey, your faith is going to be tested. Satan went against Jesus. He said, trust in yourself, your own mind, your own person. You don't have to trust in God. Do it yourself. Turn that stones into bread. Do it yourself. Satan does not want you to trust God for salvation. He does not want you to trust in God for your life. He doesn't want you to trust God for your daily provisions. He wants you to trust in yourself. The first attack upon Jesus by Satan was to attack his faith. Can you trust God to care for you? Can you trust God to care for you? And that's going to be an attack. That's a challenge that you're going to have for the rest of your life. Can God take care of you? I'm right. Number two, I want you to look at it with me. Look at it. He says, verse 4, he says, and Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Why? The word of God gives me the faith that I need. When I study God's word, it gives me that assurance of faith that I need. Look at verse 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. All the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Satan's first deception or temptation, you should not have faith in God. Right? Now, secondly, Satan takes Jesus to Jerusalem. He takes him to the mount, to the pinnacle of the temple. I've seen that pinnacle. My wife and I saw that. It's on the ground. Seriously, it's on the ground now. He says, if thou be the Son of God, he questions his deity again. You know, same thing as Genesis. Yea, hath God said. Here he is. He's tempted in the holy city. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He was tempted in a high place. the place of God. He was tempted at the temple. Just the reason I wrote that down, I wanted you to know this. Satan doesn't care if you say, well, I'm a Christian or I'm a Baptist or I work at the church or I'm serving God. He don't care. He's going to go after you anyway. It's not like, well, I'm off, you know, he's not going to come after me. Satan would tempt Jesus, the Son of God, at the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. I wanted to say, surely he would tempt you also. He says this, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Satan was tempting Jesus again. Here's how it, listen to me. Since you have decided to have faith in God and trust in God, now you can do what you want and even be careless, and God will take care of you. So you decided, I'm going to have faith in God. I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to trust in God. Well, okay, Satan says, I'll give you that. Hey, since you have faith in God, you're a believer. You're a Christian. You can do whatever you want. I had a lady tell me that. Oh, pastor, I can do what I want. God's got my back. I said, you can't do whatever you want. You have to do what the Bible says. See, Satan's, he's got a plan for your life. I'm telling you. First, he's going to attack your faith. Then when you say, you know what? I'm going to have faith in God. I'm going to trust him. Then he says, oh, yeah, you go ahead and trust God. Just do whatever you want. God will take care of you. It doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you do. As long as you trust God, he's going to take care of you since you have so much faith. He overcompensates. He's coming after you. I'm telling you guys. Jesus, again, he refused Satan with the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus knew that God the Father loved him, and there was not one reason for Jesus to test God. He believed in God. We as believers should not test God at all. We should believe in God. We shouldn't say, you know what, I can do whatever I want. I can live like I want. I can make the decisions that I want to make, and I'll be fine. You should not be abusive of the Christian life. You can't abuse Christian liberties. And we should not test God by living carelessly. We ought to say, you know what? I got saved. I have faith in God. I trusted him with my life. You know what? Now I'm going to continue to follow the Lord through the word of God. I'm not going to be careless because God's my Father. Y'all understand what I'm saying? All right? Very easy. All right? I told you now. The last temptation. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Look at verse 7. Listen to this. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answers unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone only shalt thou serve. The last temptation, or third temptation, is the most direct. By the way, listen to me. It was the most direct and unbiblical. Here's what he says. Satan desires that Jesus would bow down to him. I'll give you the world, Jesus, if you do what I say. If you allow me, if you bow down to me, you worship me. We know it's against the Ten Commandments. We know it's against God. But if you worship me, I'll give you the whole world. The tactics have never changed. Some of you in here this morning, here's what you think. You know what? I know I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior. Now I'm trying to live the way God wants me to live. I'm not going to live careless. Right? The next one is, the last one is very direct. Just do what I want. Satan says, you do what I want you to do, and I'm going to give you what you want. See, he knows what you want. I know people that love power. Stay with me. I know you're distracted, some of you. I'm watching you. I'm not being funny. He said, "There's some people need power. They want power. They don't care about money. I know people like that. They don't care about money at all. They just want to be in control. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're a money guy. All I care about is money. I'm not saying it's bad to have money. I'm not saying it's that bad to be in leadership. But that can't be your driving force. Satan's going to give you, maybe, I don't know what you're thinking. Satan knows what you want. And he's saying to you right now, if you bow down to me, I'll give you what you want. I don't know it. You're probably the only person in the whole world. But I'm telling you right now, it's not worth the trade. It's not worth the trade. And I'm just warning you this morning, give your heart to the Lord. Don't allow Satan. I wanted to give a fair warning. This is hard for me to teach. But I want to give you a fair warning. I don't want Satan to come after you and destroy your life. I want you to serve the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. Be like Jesus. Stay in the Word. Quote the Scriptures. Be strong in the Lord, as the Bible says, and in the power of His might. Don't fold under pressure. Don't trade off what God has given you for something that's inferior. Satan will give you what you want, but it doesn't last. When we were young, you know, in the media and the hip-hop industry and rock and all that stuff, it was kind of like not as forward about Satan's devices and his control. You know, people were really duped into things. Now it's just like blatantly, these people in the media are Satan worshipers. I mean, it's very blatant, it's very open. All these industries and all these organizations, and I want to say to you, stay away from it. Don't give in to it. Don't follow after it. Seek the Lord. Follow God's will for your life. You have to do it. Don't be tempted. Satan will offer you wealth. Satan will offer you fame. Satan will offer you power. Satan will offer you fun, but it's only for a little while, a season. Satan now, and I believe this is one of his biggest ones that he's using in our day and age. It's pretty new. Experiences. You got to try this. Whether it's drugs, have you ever tried this drug? I know you guys, I wouldn't do that. I'm just saying. There's people that, have you tried this drug? Travel. Have you been to this place yet? Have you been here? There's always more places to travel. You travel, you live your whole life for travel. You travel, 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 travel. All right, that's what you're gonna do. How about the, man. All different experiences. You gotta try this, you gotta do this, you gotta go here, you gotta go there. I'm telling you, Satan, he'll give you what you want to keep you from serving God. Remember this. Remember, young people, Satan does not have your best interest. He wants to destroy your life. And I want to encourage you, give your heart to the Lord. Stay close to God. Be faithful to Him. Don't follow His path. Don't be tricked. Don't be deceived. That's what he wants to do. He wants to injure your life. And I want to encourage you to live for the Lord. I want to see you living for God for a lifetime. It's difficult, but you can do it. Stay committed to Jesus Christ. Stay in the Word of God like Jesus did. Quote the Scriptures just like the Lord did. You can be powerful. You can be strong in the Word. God can use you in a great way to influence people, but you're going to have to stay close to Him. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, thank You for these young people. And I pray, Lord, that You just be with them today. And I know that some of them are young and they haven't been through a lot of experiences in this world, in this life. But we know that Satan would want to harm young people, really anybody, any Christian that's serving God. I pray You'd put a hedge of protection around them. Pray that You give them strength. Help them to be victorious in the Lord. And Lord, just bless them and help them as they surrender to Your will. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.